is, well, this is the Apostle Paul's last letter. He's in Rome's notorious Mamertine prison. I think I'm saying that right, but Mamertine prison. This was the last stop for criminals, which Paul was considered a criminal by Rome. He was guilty of preaching the gospel, and that's it. But this is the last stop before you would be executed. In this particular prison, it was bizarre. It was heinous. It was an old well, an old cistern. And so for Paul to be placed in there, he had to be lowered down by a rope. It was a horrible place to be. This was the last stop before he was to be beheaded. Now, on the bright side, he was a Roman citizen, which meant he would not be fed to the lions like other Christians. But because he was a Roman citizen, he would be decapitated. So anyways, how's your day going? So anyways, his protege, his much-loved spiritual son, he sends out one last letter, a letter of encouragement and direction. And we're just going to focus on these two verses. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Paul the Apostle knows that his time is short. He knows that he will be departing very soon. He'll be leaving this world and going to the next. But if you notice, there's not any discouragement in this. Remember, the Apostle Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So anyways, 2 Timothy 4:6, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. Paul is choosing his words very carefully and very intentionally as he's writing to this young man named Timothy. Timothy's already a pastor of a huge church, very young man. Paul was to speak life and encouragement into him. And he's talking a little bit about himself. And he says, look, I am already being poured out like a drink offering. There's a couple few things that are going on when Paul chooses to say that. So what is a drink offering? When you would do a sacrifice, or when you would bring your lamb, your ram, your bull to be sacrificed by a priest as a covering for your sins, as a temporary covering for your sins, at the very end of that sacrifice, the priest would pour out a drink offering or some wine around the altar. And that would be a sweet, sweet aroma to the Lord. And so, first of all, what does that drink offering represent? What does it mean when the priest would pour out that wine around that altar? Well, it represents Jesus Christ. That represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Go with me to Matthew 26 and 28. Remember the Last Supper. Remember the Last Supper. In the first communion, Jesus says this, for this is my blood. He's talking about the wine. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out. Remember, the priest would pour it out at the end of that sacrifice. Here's the drink offering. I'm pouring out the wine. Okay. Which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus Christ shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. That's the best news you're going to hear all day right there. Because of Jesus Christ sacrificed, you are saved. And if you're not saved, you can be saved. And that's wonderful news, because talking about eternal life, there's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through accepting what Jesus Christ did for you. So the pouring out of that wine or that drink offering at the end of a sacrifice, that was a picture of Jesus pouring out his blood for us. And the Apostle Paul says, look, Tim, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. So a few things going on here. Drink offering came at the end of a sacrifice. Paul's talking about one thing. My life has been devoted to God. Since I accepted Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus, I have been a sold out follower of Jesus Christ. My life has been sacrificial, if that makes sense. My life has been an offering to the Lord. Just like when you would have to take that lamb to be sacrificed, you would offer it up to the Lord. And he says, I have offered up my life to the Lord because I know what God did for me. And I have served him. I'm like a drink offering being poured out. Another thing he's saying is the drink offering came at the very end of the sacrifice. And he's saying, I'm not about to be poured out. It's like I'm already being poured out. He's saying, Tim, I'm about to be leaving, man. Tim, I'm not long for this world. He's saying, you know what? I'm about to be going. I'm at the end of this thing. But no discouragement, no despair. I'm sure he's got all kinds of emotions going on, but he knows exactly where he's going. You know, the man had a long, hard road. Read Acts. Read the book of Acts. Those we're supposed to be reading that this month anyways. But if you read the book of Acts, you see a little bit of what Paul the apostle went through, man. Shipwrecked, snake bitten, beaten, left for dead, all kinds of stuff. You know, he prayed three times for some ailment to be removed from his life. The guy had a hard, hard run, but he remained faithful to the Lord. He didn't get sidetracked. Anyways, he says, my life is being poured out like a drink offering. Now, another thing, he's not just saying that my life has been sacrificially devoted to the Lord. He's not just saying that I'm at the tail end of my earthly walk, my earthly ministry, but he's also saying my life, my ministry devoted to the Lord has been sweet to him. It has been, because when they would pour out that drink offering, it would be a pleasant, pleasing aroma before the Lord. He's saying my life has been pleasing to the Lord. What a wonderful thing to be able to look back at your life one day, say, you know what? I wasn't perfect, man, but when I messed up, I dusted myself off and I went back at it, man. You know, my life has been pleasing to the Lord. What a wonderful thing to be able to say. Can I get a witness? For I am already being poured out as a drink offering and the time of my departure is at hand. So the time of my departure is at hand is translating to like when a boat is being untied, when a boat is being untied to set sail. He's saying, it's time for me to set sail, Tim. I'm out of here. But you notice he's not saying, he's not saying the boat is going to be sunk at the bottom of the lake. It's time for the boat to be sunk at the bottom of the lake. He's saying, it's time for me to be set free, man. I'm going to a much better, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Can I get a witness? Remember, the Apostle Paul also said this, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. And to die is gain. Back in his letter to the Philippians, he's like, man, I'm kind of stuck between two ideals here, man. It's like, it'd be far better for me just to go on and be with the Lord, but it'd be better for you guys if I stick around and continue to teach and encourage and instruct you guys. It's, you know, so he's like, to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I'm alive, I'm serving Christ. If I'm on this earth, if there's air in my lungs, my heart's beating, I'm serving Christ, man. I'm going to continue to spread the gospel. That was Paul's thing, man. You know, I'm going to keep talking about Jesus wherever I go. But if I die, don't cry for me, Argentina. If I die, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's better than I can imagine. And that's the wonderful thing about being a Christian, isn't it? In this crazy world that we live in, man, to live is Christ. I've got a mission to do as long as I'm alive. It is to proclaim the gospel. Let my life be a witness, okay? And we want to stay on that course. But when I die, when Pastor Paul dies, when a Christian dies, it's gain. It ain't nothing but good from here on out. So we can be excited, man. And I've been at the side of many, many deathbeds, man. And I'm telling you what, there's a thing that happens with Christians. There's a thing that happens where they begin to slowly release themselves from this world and they begin to get excited about what's waiting for them, you know? And it's a beautiful thing, you know? I'm not making that up, man, but it's different when Christians know when they're about to depart. It's completely different than when someone that doesn't know the Lord is about to depart, you know, because there's that blessed assurance, that blessed hope. And I don't mean hope like, well, I hope all you guys come to my birthday party or something, but Christian hope, which I do, not playing. Christian hope is an assurance, man, that I know God's word is true. So the Apostle Paul, knowing his boat is being set free, it's being untied, man, he's going from one side to the other. There's an excitement that Christians can have. You know what I mean? Moving forward, let's go to the, no, stay on the same slide. Stay on the same slide. No, go to the next slide. Yeah, right here. Go back. Yeah, I'm all mixed up, man. Okay. So what do y'all want to talk about today? Jesus? Yeah, that'll work. Okay. Romans 12, I appeal to you therefore, brothers. Let's skip that. Now let's go to the next slide. Go ahead and go. I don't know. So how's everybody doing today? Man, you know what? God is good, right? So thank you for your patience back there. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He's kind of summing up his life, summing up his ministry for Timothy. It's like, man, there's no regret in what he's saying here. As he looks back on his life, there's no regret. It's all positive. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. And he said, there's no regret. We know a little bit about the Apostle Paul. You know, we talk about him all the time. He's all through the New Testament. You know, we know a little bit about the man's past, is what I'm saying. But as he's addressing Timothy, he speaks of no regret. Well, how can that be? We know that the guy used to be a foul murderer of Christians. We know that before he was a Christian, he would go rounding up Christians, throwing them in jail, taking them to court, getting happy and psyched up when they would be put to death, man. So how can he, at the end of his days, have all this positive stuff to say? Well, let's go back to Philippians 3:13. Remember what Paul said to the Philippian church? And this is food for us, man. We're not just talking about Paul the apostle. It's not just a little history lesson. Can I get a witness? But remember, when we're talking about that great cloud of witnesses, those people that have went on before us, we can always learn from them. We learn from them. Can I get a witness? So Philippians 3:13, this is what the apostle Paul said. Brothers, and this will be familiar to you. We've talked about this for 7 weeks, I think. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own. I'm not saying I'm perfect, church people. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. That's the Apostle Paul there. It's like, yeah, I got a past. But you know what? I've been set free from that. I became a new creation in Christ. On the road to Damascus, that guy died. I'm a new creation now. No, he's not saying I have forgotten what God did for me, what I've been delivered from, that I was evil, that I was going the wrong, I was going the complete wrong way. I was persecuting the Christians. I was persecuting the church. By default, I was persecuting Jesus Christ, the Son of the risen, persecuted Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? Can I get a witness? He said, I was going the wrong way. He said, I will never forget what God did for me. I will never forget that I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But I will not let my past, what that old man did, I will not let that hinder me or hold me back from my future. So I got to leave the past in the past. Okay? So each and every one of us, we got to leave the past in the past. You know? Forgive people if they've done you wrong. Don't let that hold you back anymore. Allow God to do a work in your life. You know, sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. You know, there's so much hate, self-hatred in the body of Christ where Satan just condemns us. Man, God doesn't want that, man. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. So let your past go and we're moving forward. Can I get a witness? Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. So two things going on here. I leave the past in the past, and I give it my all. In my race, in my life of service to the Lord, I give it my all. This is the big thing in my life. Why? Because Jesus Christ took hold of me. Paul knew what he'd been delivered from. He knew that he'd been saved. He's like, that's a big thing. So with the rest of my time, I want to finish my race strong. But the rest of my time, I want to serve the Lord. I want to spread the gospel to Gentiles, to Jews. You set me in front of King Agrippa, I'm going to tell him. You set me in front of some Roman dignitary, I'm going to tell him. a slave, a free man, the Sanhedrin. I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus Christ because he changed my life. Amen. Can I get a witness? So I have fought the good fight. I fought the good fight. Paul was in this battle. From the moment he accepted Christ, he was in this battle or this war against Satan. Okay? Because as soon as you accept Jesus Christ, you become a real target for Satan. Before you accept Christ, he's not concerned with you. You're no threat to Satan before you accept Jesus Christ. But once you accept Christ, you just got put in his crosshairs. You just became a target for Satan. Can I get a witness? So the Apostle Paul, he was in this war, this fight that he's talking about against the plans of Satan, against his life. He had this fight against the world system, right? And his flesh. These three things, man, this is the fight that we're all involved in. Satan and his schemes, the world system that is anti-God, and your own flesh that wants to be disobedient to Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, man, I've been in this war. I've been in this fight. But guess what? Guess what, Timothy? I fought the good fight, and I came out victorious because I kept my focus on Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's all of us, guys. We're in this fight. We have the same enemy that Paul the Apostle has. Can I get a witness? Okay, so look at James 4 in verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because there we go. Listen, we got this enemy, and his name is Satan. All right? And he's real. He's real. And he's a defeated foe. He was defeated at the cross. But you know what? He likes to mess with your mind. He likes to mess with your mind and say all kinds of lies and all this evilness. And he tries to get other people to do all kinds of crazy stuff. So he's a defeated foe, all right? He knows his end is near. He knows his fate is sealed. Can I get a witness? But he's still messing with you. He's still coming at you. But see, look at what James says, okay? Because you're in this war just like Paul. Amen. If you're a Christian, you're in this war, all right? You say, well, man, I know plenty of people that ain't Christians and they had a crazy, hard, difficult life. Yeah, I'm not saying that's not true, all right? The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. We live in a fallen world. Babies are born sick. Good people get in car wrecks. I'm not saying these things don't happen, but I'm saying once you sign on that dotted line that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you just pique the interest of Satan. And he says, oh, we'll see about that. I'm going to come against you. I'm going to make your life as miserable as possible. Amen. Because he doesn't want a Christian to be effective for the kingdom. But listen, this is what the Lord says. Is everybody doing all right? James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Easy, easy little thing. I'm not saying it's easy to be done, but just the easy way to look at your war against Satan. All right? Here's the deal. Just like Paul the Apostle, I'm going to submit to God's authority in my life. And when I submit to God's authority in my life, guess what I just did? I'm resisting the devil. Okay? I can't serve two masters, so I got to decide who's the boss, right? Who's the boss on ABC, 7 p.m.? No. What's wrong with him? I don't know. James 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Who's the boss in your life? Can't serve them both, right? But I've never served Satan a day in my life. No, before you were a Christian, that was your master, right? It wasn't you, all right? You might have thought you were driving the boat, but you weren't, all right? But see, now you belong to Jesus, okay? He's my Lord and Savior, not just my Savior. Can I get a witness? Not just my Savior. He's my Lord. He's the King of Kings. And he says, you want to keep yourself from a lot of unnecessary pain and suffering and sorrow? Submit to my leadership. Follow my word, which will, when I submit to God's rule, I'm going to be resisting the devil because I can't resist him on my own, right? I can't do it. Okay, so submit to God's leadership. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Satan's not going to waste his time with you if he's not getting anywhere. He'll pull back. He'll look at his notes and he'll come back from another angle trying to get you. But then I resist the devil by submitting to God's authority. I'm going to do what the Bible says. Can I get a witness? We have this war, this battle, this lifelong thing from salvation until the Lord calls us home. We're in this fight against Satan and the flesh and the world system. Well, what about the world system? How do I combat that? Remember last week? Do not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, all right? It's not going to satisfy. It's not going to fulfill, all right? Don't be conformed. Don't think that you can fit into the world's mold and be comfortable, because it's not going to work, okay? So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's how I fight the world system right there, is I get into the Word of God, and I let it change the way I perceive things. I let it change the way I think about things. God says, don't be conformed to this world that's going to hell in a handbasket. Everybody said, going to hell. No, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Let God change you by changing the way you think about things. That's why it's so important to spend time in prayer. I'll go to God with a petition. And I'll go, God, this is what I believe needs to happen. Or God, please do this. But over time, if it's not the will of God, you know, he'll begin to change how I see it. So, you know, why don't you pray this way, Paul? Does that make sense? He changes the way we think about things. And if he changes the way we think about things, it's going to change our actions. It's going to change our behaviors. So I'm not going to be conformed to this world in this fight that I'm in. Amen. Can I get a witness? So we're in this war, this battle against sin, Satan, the world system, my flesh that wants to rise up in sin, my flesh that wants to give into temptations that I know I have no business messing with, things that I have refused to put down as a Christian that I've hidden away and no one else knows about, but just me and God or whatever, you know, these hidden sins, whatever it might be, okay, you're in a battle, you're in a war. And the Apostle Paul, looking back at the end of his life, said, man, I fought my fight. And you know what? Me leaning on God, I was able to do it. Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, so do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. I did that backwards, but main part. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The end of that verse, Isaiah 41, verse 10, God says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He says, I'll give you the strength you need. So you can say no to sin if you want to. I'll give you the strength you need. You need help? I'll give you help. Don't be fearful because I'm with you. Don't be discouraged because you belong to God. And he says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What's that talking about? Specifically, it's talking about getting to a place of victory where God grabs your hand in his and holds it up in victory. He says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Say, look, we got a winner here, folks. Look here. So that's the thing right there. We're in this war, but the Apostle Paul said, man, I'm victorious. I'm victorious through Christ. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. Okay, now look at Galatians 5 and verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. What does that mean, walk by the Spirit? Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Do what the Word of God says. When it says do it, do it. When it says don't do it, don't do it. Amen? Right? Tell the truth, shame the devil. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, guess what? I've been sealed for that day. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells inside me now. And guess what that Holy Spirit says? That Holy Spirit says, now that I'm a Christian, that Holy Spirit says, remember what you read in the Bible the other day? Remember what the preacher Dalton said the other day in Bible class? I need to do that. Don't do this thing. Don't give into this temptation. Do what the scripture says. It's the Holy Spirit that is saying, don't do that. So that's not true. That's my conscience. No. I'm telling you, my conscience was a lot different before I accepted Jesus Christ. That makes sense? I could get away with a lot more and sleep just fine. But now that I'm a Christian, okay, the Holy Spirit's talking to me saying, don't do that. Do not do that. Then I mess up. I give into it. It's like, okay, don't do that anymore. All right. Don't do that anymore. You know what? Do an about face. Ask for forgiveness and move forward. I'm running my race and I just messed up, man. I just tripped up. Dust myself off. Ask for forgiveness and get back in the running the right direction. Can I get a witness? All right, let's go to the next slide. So Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight and I came out on top. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. Throughout the last 7 weeks or so, or seven sermons, there's been a common thing. One of the common things that have come up in pretty much, I believe, every sermon is the sports analogies that the Apostle Paul uses. Fighting a good fight. You know, I don't box aimlessly or whatever he was saying. You know, I got a purpose for what I'm doing. And I'm running my race. We see that over and over again. Running my race. I don't look to the past. I'm not bound by my past. I'm moving forward. And here we have it again, that sporting analogy. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul was saying, I've finished my race. God saved my soul on the road to Damascus, and he gave me a purpose to live. And what an amazing thing when you've accepted Christ and you realize, you know, it's not just willy-nilly, whatever, let me go to college, let me do this. Not, that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that. But he gives us an actual, real, legitimate purpose for life. You exist to give God glory. And the Apostle Paul has that. If you look at his resume, if you look at the things he accomplished before he became to Jesus Christ, this wasn't no nobody. By the eyes of the world, this wasn't no nobody. This was a highfalutin dude. Maybe on his way to be the high priest, you know? But he said that, my past, everything I accumulated or accomplished before Jesus Christ is dookie. It's really, that's what he's saying. It's excrement. Look at your neighbor and say excrement. That's what he's saying. It's dung, all right? But he said, I have finished my race. I have preached the gospel. I have done what God has told me to do. No matter where I found myself, if I was on a ship as a prisoner, I preached the gospel. If I found myself on an island being shipwrecked, I preached the gospel. If I was in front of this Roman dignitary, I preached the gospel. If I was in front of this king, I'd preach the gospel. I ran my race. I did what I was supposed to do. Look at Acts 20 and verse 24. Acts 20 and verse 24. This is Paul talking about what he wants to do with his life. Or he's saying, this is what's important to me. Okay, Acts 20 and 24. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself. Paul's got it figured out. He doesn't hate himself. He's not going around putting tacks in his sandals so every step he makes hurts. He's not beating himself with a whip or anything like that. He's saying that my life, I am created to give God glory. I exist to give God glory. And Jesus Christ saved my soul when he did not have to. So I live my life devoted to God. And that's the same for all of us, you know? He saved our soul. We were on our way to hell. I'm not a bad person. What do you mean I'm going to? You only have two destinations, eternal damnation or in the presence of our Lord and Savior for all eternity. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. You don't have to be a bad person, all right? A good person isn't going to get to heaven. We accept that precious gift of Jesus Christ, right? Okay, so anyways, Apostle Paul says, I ran my race. Acts 20 and verse 24, but I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself. My life belongs to God. But this is what I want to do with my life. If only I may finish my course. If only I can finish my race. Paul says, I just want to finish strong, man. I don't want to be like Saul that starts off good and is a big, huge, colossal mess. I don't want to be like Solomon that started off great and awesome and just wasn't devoted to God fully at the end and caused all this trouble. Okay, I want to finish strong. I want to be devoted to God. Amen. If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul says, I just want to finish strong, man. I'm in this race. I'm in this fight and I'm not giving up. I want to finish strong. Same for me and you. How do I run my race? Look at these verses right here. Proverbs 24, 27. Here's some good advice from Proverbs, right? From Solomon. about me and my race. Let your eyes look directly forward. Is that good advice? Whether you're running a marathon or a 50-yard dash or running your life as a Christian in service to the Most High God, this is excellent advice. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Focus on Jesus Christ. Focus on that finish line. So, you know, when these Romans would do these Olympic-style races, when they do these races that come around that last bend, guess what? There'd be this highfalutin Roman guy at the finish line holding up a flowery wreath. And that was first one there, got it, man. He was the winner. You get this little wreath thing, get to sport that around for a while. You know, that's what they were running for, dude. You know, a temporary thing that'll fade away. We're running for things eternal. But anyways, when you would see that dude holding that thing up, you think you'd start slowing down? Yeah. You want to cross the finish line just walking? No, man, you're not going to win that way. You're not going to win your race that way. You kick it into high gear. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not going to be bound by my past. I'm not going to be bound by these sins that easily tangle up everybody else in these weights. Not me, man. When I see that prize, I can see it now, Tim. I can see it. I can see the finish line. I'm about to cross it, and guess what? There's Jesus Christ waiting for me. You know, he's digging in, man. He wants to finish strong. That's me and you. How do we finish strong, church? Focus on Jesus Christ. Focus on Jesus Christ. You get weak, you want to give in to temptation? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got that Holy Spirit I keep talking about. Listen to the Holy Spirit. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. He'll give me the strength to say no. I just got to want to say no. Can I get a witness? Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. And if you don't want to say no, pray about that. Pray about that. I'm telling you, he will give you the strength. He will renew your mind. He'll change the way you think about things, but you got to want it. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder, this is good. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Hey, man, plan ahead. Think about the direction I want to go in every single day. Preacher Fred used to say, that's my dad, by the way. He would say this little prayer every morning. I remember it. He talked about it in church all the time. It's a little tiny prayer. He'd say, good morning, dear Jesus. This day is for you. Each thing I think, speak, and do. He'd get up and say that to himself. Okay, here's a new day. This day, I got to be Christ-centered. I got to focus on pleasing God. I want to do the right thing with this day. So look at this verse. Ponder the path of your feet. Think about it, man. Okay. If I think this thought, is it pleasing to God? Or is it going to lead me to some other bad thoughts, right? You know, if I go this way, if I do this action, is this a God-pleasing action? I'm telling you, man, this is what we got to do. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Verse 27. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. You see something tempting in front of you that you don't need to be messing with? Jump over that hurdle, man. Keep moving forward. Stay on the track. I'm following Jesus. Can I get a witness? The Apostle Paul said, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Let's go to the next slide. And the last slide. If you need to make your reservations to Crystals. Second Timothy 4 and verse 7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. So this word kept means to guard. I have kept the faith. I have guarded it. Picture a dog guarding his bone, man. The Apostle Paul is like, this is the word of God, and I'm not adding to it. I'm not taking away from it. And if I see you adding to it or taking away from it or trying to dilute it, I'm going to call you out on it. All right? Because you can't be doing that to the church of God. You can't be doing that. So he took it very seriously. This is the word of God that was given to me. Okay? And we don't dilute it. Okay? I am going to live by the Bible. I'm going to live by what the word of God says. And I'm not going to cherry pick the things I like and throw away the things that I don't like. Okay? The word of God. It doesn't change because the world changes, all right? We have to stick to what the Word of God says, no matter how popular it is or how popular it ain't. Or, man, you can get in trouble talking that way nowadays. Okay, we use wisdom, but don't worry about it, man. You got to do what God's told you to do. Can I get a witness? Listen, he says, I've kept this faith, man, through my whole journey. When the Judaizers came in, when all these crazy people came in, I was like, no, that is of the devil. When Peter started compromising a little bit, I stood up to his face in front of everybody and said, Peter, you ain't doing right, man. That's not how you do it. You know, he took this really, really serious. Just as devoted and devout of a sinner he was twice as devoted and devout to serving the Lord. And look at the advice he gives his protege, Timothy. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20. Oh, Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Word of God, Timothy, as he was his protege, the Word of God that Paul was constantly teaching in front of people and instructing Timothy in private. It's like, this is gold, man. This is everything. Christ and him crucified. Don't get in any craziness. Don't be misled by anything, because misled leaders mislead folks. Can I get a witness? Oh, Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you and avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. There's a lot of fancy people out there, Tim, that are going to say, I got a revelation from the Lord here. Come to my church. I got a special revelation. Guess what? God's cool for you doing this and all that. He says, no, Tim, if they can't back it up by the Word of God, run from it. Don't mess with that junk, because it ain't true. All right? Because we got to keep the faith, man. We got to guard the faith. We got to obey the Word of God. Not just say, well, yeah, it's kind of old school there. You know, it's so grandma, grandpa. You know? No, the Word of God is the Word of God. It's living. It's active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And if you get into it, it'll show you what's wrong with your life. Amen. Tell the truth, shame the devil. 2 Timothy 1:13, Paul talking to Tim. Follow the pattern of sound words. Timothy, you've heard me talk many, many times. We've had these midnight discussions many, many times. Don't be led astray, all right? It can be so tempting to just sugarcoat something or say, I think God will be cool with that. Don't do that. Don't give in to that. That's a hurdle. You jump over that. You keep moving forward. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So here, Paul says, look, I've kept the faith, man. It's time for me to set sail. This is my swan song, Timothy. I'm not going to be around much longer. But listen to this. I fought my fight. I've ran my race. I've kept the faith. And he instructs Tim to do the same thing. Tim, you got a long way to go, man. Run your race. Keep the faith. Fight the good fight. And you'll hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, one day. And here's the call, not just to Tim, not just to Paul, but to us as well, man. Keep the Word of God. Guard the Word of God. You know what I mean? Stand up for the Word of God. But not just guard it, but live it. You know, James says, don't just be hearers of the Word, deceiving yourself, but be doers also. Do what it says. Amen. So we're talking about saying no to sin, yes to God. He's the one that created you. He's the one that sent his son to die for you so you could be forgiven and be saved. He's the one that made a way for you to live forever and to spend eternity with the Most High God. Okay, so we're blessed people. Much has been given. Much has been given for our salvation. I thought salvation was free. It is free. It's free for us, but God had to pay for it. He paid for it with the precious blood of his son. So that needs to mean something to us. So you know what? We can't stray away from the cross. We can't forget what's been done at that cross, because the farther I get away from the cross, the more I'm going to want to give in to sins and temptations that I ain't got no business messing with anymore. We want to say no to sin and yes to God.